shortcut in building Christian character. There are no shortcuts to building a faithful church. If a solid foundation is not laid in the stability of a Christian home, weaknesses will emerge again and again. An infant grows to adulthood slowly. It appears to go so slowly, and yet in just a few years they slip away and the child is an adult. But you cannot rush it. You cannot rush physical growth, how much less spiritual growth. The Bible says of Jesus that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. But he developed as any human being would develop in all of those areas of growth. It took time. It took time for him to develop a relationship with people, socially and spiritually with his Father. In this article, Brother Hufford gave these admonitions about shortcuts. He said, we should as a church avoid simple, immediate solutions to church conflict. Every church in due time will suffer conflict. When one point is settled, another will arise in time, and again a church must face it. There's a tendency in the midst of conflict to say, it's hopeless, it's useless. The church will fail. And yet it is at that very point that we need wisdom and patience, maturity and understanding. Some want a quick, painless resolution when conflicts occur. Some are even willing to sweep it under the rug and try to hide it quickly. I believe that Paul's example in his treatment of the church at Corinth is commendable for all of us. You will watch Paul as he begins his first letter to them after writing, and then following that, writing several other letters. At a time when writing letters was very expensive, time consuming. It had to be posted. Someone had to send it. And then they had to wait for a reply. He learned some of these problems firsthand by being there and also from a letter that he received from the house of Chloe. And he took the time to address some 12 to 14 issues in that church. But he didn't rush it. He patiently taught. There was a man who was committing fornication with his father's wife. Paul rebuked him and said such was not even known among the Gentiles. Of course it was. But it was a way of saying, shame on you. You're living as the Gentiles do. But Paul was very cautious in handling that situation. To both discipline the person who had caused the difficulty, who had sinned, and then to patiently wait for repentance. And that he did. And he sent Titus back to monitor the situation, to report back to him. Again, time consuming, no shortcuts. In the second letter, chapter 7, he mentions Titus' return and how that they were overjoyed because of the good report they had received. But from 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians 7, there's no shortcut. And so when difficulties arise in the church, and invariably they will, remember that there is no shortcut to a solution. And it may take time for those involved to understand the extent of the sin that they have committed and the grievous harm that they have caused to the church of our Lord. But that they must understand. And then they must, in obtaining some level of maturity, truly repent of it. And Paul said that godly sorrow leads to repentance. not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world leads to death. But there is no shortcut here in regard to resolving church conflicts. And there is to be a warning of this as well. Beware of putting more into events, Brother Hufford writes, than into ministries. I believe that we've all fallen prey to that, where we believe that in some way, if we just had a special event, a special weekend retreat, have a popular evangelist to come in. Everyone else is doing this. Let's try it and see. And all of that sometimes is an effort to shortcut the hard work of the individual congregation growing to maturity. In times past, we depended upon popular speakers in mass evangelistic settings for one powerful week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks of presentation to set things right and to convert the lost. Takes more time than that. Cannot have a few studies and all of a sudden the heart of a person be changed. It takes teaching. It takes the guidance of a father and a mother patiently guiding and teaching and waiting for the development of their young to become people of character. There is no shortcut to that. We should avoid single issue solutions to the complexity of the health of the church. Sometimes churches rush the issue of appointing leaders. Paul warned them about that in writing to Timothy, and he said they cannot be a novice. That is a young man. But he must first be proven at home, he wrote. And if they do not know how to direct the affairs at home, how shall they take care of the church of God? What does he say? He said, don't rush it. Wait till men grow to maturity. Wait till a family develops to the point that they can be appointed to that work. There is no shortcut to that. He wrote that we should avoid spending money for immediate results rather than investing in long-term ministries. We all get excited, probably more, about short-term trips and mission work rather than long-term commitments. And yet, once again, we're trying to rush the development of a mission church. We must be committed to it. There are no shortcuts. It's not just a matter of finding the right missionary and sending him or her. It involves the investment of the heart and the resources of a mature church. We have practiced something in most of our churches that I'm aware of in a way that I believe has not been helpful. And that is that as we learn of various mission works, we begin to divide up our resources and we'll send a small amount here and a small amount over there. And we end up partially invested in 6 or 8 or 10 different places. And we're really not behind anyone fully. And so we're trying the shortcut of sending a check. And an inadequate one for the full support of that work. And our churches, therefore, have wrestled for years with this division of resources. I believe it is an effort at a shortcut to the serious matter of mission efforts and mission work. Would it not be better if we were to be more concentrated and focused on a field and invest our resources in it and do the long-term work of establishing that church. And in some cases, when a mission work fails, we should have the courage and the commitment to pull away. Paul did not encourage one church to support the work in Athens. He never wrote one letter to that group in Athens because of their unbelief. And they did not waste decades of support to a community whose heart was divided among multiple gods. And so, in regard to this matter of doing missions, Brother Hufford writes, we should be careful about thinking there's a shortcut to it. There isn't. And then finally, he listed five. We should avoid temporary solutions to inadequate worship. The one thing it seems to me that local churches have tried to master is the worship experience on Sunday. And yet in that one area, we have not spent very much time in planning them or in thinking about what we're going to do. And so what we do is use the same format. And everyone knows what is going to be done, who's going to do it. And there's little room at all for spontaneity or for the leadership of God and the Spirit of God among us. Our shortcuts have caused us numerous difficulties. I want to remind you that there are no shortcuts in Christianity. There is no shortcut in having a Christian home or having a strong community of believers who trust God. I would like to add these comments. There was no shortcut when it came to providing our salvation. Satan offered it to Jesus. In the wilderness experience of Matthew 4, he said, if you'll just fall down at my feet and worship me, you see the kingdoms here? I'll give the glory of all of them to you. Must have been tempting to Jesus. He refused it. Peter didn't want Jesus to go to the cross, and he stood in the way. He said, it will not be so, Lord. Jesus told Peter to get behind him, Satan. For you do not desire the things of God, but the things of men. And Jesus himself prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It was not possible. He prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. There was no shortcut when it came to providing our salvation. And by the way, God worked for centuries to build an understanding of people, among people, so that they would know why the death of his son was necessary. And he went through this entire experience with the nation of Israel and with the Gentiles and their wisdom, on the other hand, in order to show that those two methods of redemption would eventually fail you. Could not redeem. And it would be only through the blood of Christ that that would occur. No shortcut in regard to salvation. There is no shortcut in fulfilling the Great Commission. Listen to the words of it again. Go into all of the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And yet, what have we heard? We have heard of mass evangelists preaching saying, just put your hand on the radio. We have heard them say, just say the sinner's prayer. But where is it? Just receive Jesus into your heart. One man wrote an indictment, a stinging indictment of what we have experienced over the last 250 years in this country. By saying that preaching has left America thinking that we're a Christian nation. When we still live an ungodly life, we've just received Jesus into our heart. But we haven't changed our hearts. He told them to keep on teaching, keep on preaching, and to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I will be with you till the end. There is no shortcut here. Why do they not tell the masses hearing them in those meetings and on radio and television to repent and be baptized, every one of you? Because they wanted a shortcut to convert the masses. And it failed. Has to be genuine teaching here. And a genuine repentance and a confession that is bold, that you believe him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the baptism will mean something. There has to be heartfelt repentance. There is no shortcut to any of this. This is hard work. But that's the work we're called to do. There is no shortcut in becoming the church that the Lord desires. John wrote to 7. Paul wrote to 7. Multiple others like Peter, James, and John, and Jude. At a time when writing was expensive, time-consuming. They wrote even circular letters that were intended for all churches, like the one we call the letter to the Ephesians. Some manuscripts don't even have that at the title. It's a circular letter, intended for all churches to read, to learn, to know. Mature men were to guide those churches. Not novices. There is no shortcut to becoming the church that the Lord desires. I remember hearing a message once in which the preacher said, in relation to the church and the kingdom, he said, the process is for churches, assemblies is what it means. Is for an assembly to become the kingdom of God. That's the process I'm trying to describe. We can have an assembly, but that assembly then must become the kingdom of God. It takes time for that to happen. There is no short circuit. There is no shortcut to that. I would add this, there is no shortcut for building relationships. Relationships take time. It takes an investment in one another's lives. If you go to a foreign land to preach, it is not only bridging culture, bridging language, but it's also loving the people, getting to know them, caring about them, not just correcting them. It takes time in that investment. Here are the Jews and the Gentiles eating different foods, some refusing to eat what the other would eat. Why is that important? Why is Paul writing about it? Because at the heart of this is table fellowship. What are you going to do? How are you going to get together? How are you going to sit together and eat together? With all of these differences, they had to learn what mattered in the faith and what did not matter. They had to learn to eat food that they had not eaten before, or to refuse to eat it if you were in the company of those who didn't like it. The relationship is better and more important than the diet. Building relationships. The divided state of Christendom says that many believers think that their individual faith is what matters, and not the common faith. Not the faith that binds us all together. I believe that it says that we are not willing to invest in the hard work of having a relationship with other believers. It's easier just to remain divided. It's easier to go our own ways separately and wait till a final judgment is made. I would encourage you not to do that. We better do the hard work now. And it will take time. It will take years to love one another. And isn't that at the heart of what Jesus taught? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Can you imagine what happened when Jesus came into this world? Having known the Father from the beginning, and now learning in his relationship with fellow human beings to struggle with them, to experience life as they experienced it, so that he could be a faithful and merciful high priest in all things pertaining to reconciliation. What Jesus did is the example for us all. And that is to care and to take the time necessary to build good relationships. May God bless you in hearing today. Thank you for thinking about a tough subject. And tonight will be about our dream, the disciples' dream. What is our hope? What is it that we look to that lifts us above the present moment, the present struggle? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, we invite you to today as a mature response to what you have learned and to what you know. We invite you now while we stand and say, thank you.